licensed. You are licensed. So the journey is quite long to get there. I come out of Bible school and was licensed inside of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. They interviewed me. I had to fill out this questionnaire. They looked at all my credentials. They looked at all my schooling. They looked at all my grades. They interviewed me. And then the Licensing and Ordination Council had decided that they would license me. And so they give me this provisional license that I could operate inside of the state of Pennsylvania as a pastor, as a clergyman, as someone who could basically sign marriage licenses. But they recognized that and they licensed me. So then that process started, the ordination process. And through the ordination process, which was somewhere between a 2 and 3 year process, you had to be in full-time ministry and serving in full-time ministry. In addition to that, you had to write 6 or 8 papers that were about 10 to 20 pages apiece to be able to, on Christ as healer and savior and coming king and sanctifier. And you had to do this personal studies of how God has wired you and go through extensive psychological really studies and then write papers on who you were and how God's wired you and understanding yourself. It's quite disturbing at times, but in that process, too, you had to go to teachings that would be offered, and you had to go to teachings on different topics of ministry, and some of the icons, if you will, of the ministry would be there, and they would give us instruction on how to be, how to do it, how to do ministry, how to be a man of God, how to be a pastor, and all kinds of different teaching. And then all the time you're turning in your papers to the Licensing and Ordination Council, and they're evaluating them to see if you covered it correctly or thoroughly, and see if your theology was right, and so forth and so on. And then after all that was done, and all that was turned in, and all that was approved, and then you got to sit for the test. The test was somewhere about 4 or 5 hours, really, it took me to take this test. And when you come into the room to take the test, they give you a Bible, and that's your notes for this test. And I can remember getting out of the test, and I called Cheryl, and she said, how did you make out? And I said, I'm stopping to get an application from Walmart on the way home. And then after all that, then they evaluate your test, and then they call you back in, and you have this oral interview with all the Licensing and Ordination Council people sitting there questioning you on ways you answered certain things on your test. It was very intense for me, that 2.5 to 3 years that it took me to be ordained or fully licensed, if you will. But inside of that journey, I learned so much. Inside of that journey, the men and the women that were investing in me were off the charts. And I can remember thanking some of those people for investing in me and not being okay if my paper didn't really line up with, or it could go deeper, and sending it back and saying, I think you can go deeper on this. I wasn't happy about those things at the time, but I learned so much from this Licensing and Ordination Council men and women that were involved in my life. And one of the trainers at one of the teachings that we had was a pastor who could preach very, very well. I listened to him and I said, man, I would like to be able to communicate at the level that he communicates. And I want to communicate at that level. So he was one of the instructors one time. And so he was teaching this, and he was teaching us all kinds of things. But I remember him saying this. I said all that to get to this one point. He said, make sure that you're not always preaching your soapboxes. Let the Bible direct what you preach. And he says, go through, allow yourself to be guided by a book at a time. Whether you sit down and say, listen, for the next 2 years, we're going to go through the book of Romans. Or the next 6 years, we're going to go through the book of Genesis. He said, that's not what I'm asking you to do. He said, I'm just asking for you to let it be guided. So you're given a full menu. Look at the Bible as a menu of everything that God has for you. And for the people that maybe you're preaching to or speaking to. So that has just rolled around in my head for years. It's rolled around in my head. And often I'll go to the passage of Scripture, and then I'll go to the next one. And you may not know it, but I'm preaching through a book in my head. Because I want to make sure that I'm not just standing on a soapbox and preaching the same thing over and over and over, just saying it a different way. I want the full menu. We're so tempted to go to the restaurant and order the same exact thing every single time. And that's good, okay, if you want to do that. But the menu is big. The menu is big, and I didn't stand next to Tobin when I said that. Dragon burger, fresh cut fries, and sweet tea. Just in case if you're going to the Spring House with Tobin. But the Bible is this full menu. And so last week we looked at this 1 Corinthians passage. We talked about pondering God's Word. And I wanted to practice pondering God's Word. And so I take that home and I say, God, I'm going to say it out loud. I'm pondering your Word. And I got like 2 words into the next layer of 1 Corinthians. And the word relationship come up to me. And the word, just that Paul was talking to the church of Corinth about their relationships. And I started to journey into relationships and what the intricate parts of relationships are. And I began to dig in, and I know it's broad, and we could speak on that for years and years and years. But relationship, the simple is this: the connection between 2 or more people or groups and their involvement with one another, especially as regard to the way they behave toward and feel about one another. That's a relationship. And as I started to filter through the Bible, I saw clear back in Genesis where God said this. He said this to the rest of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He said this because then the angels and whoever else was listening. And He spoke this out to I know that Jesus was there. I know the Spirit was there. I know the Father was there. And He spoke this out in Genesis 2:18. He said this: the Lord said, it's not good for Adam to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. I will make someone he can be in relationship with. Adam had the perfect environment. He had the perfect job. He had a perfect relationship with God. And God still said, it's not good for him to be without relationship on this earth. And so He created someone he could be in relationship with. And that was just the start of our horizontal relationships that God brings us into. We are created for relationships. We are created to be in relationship, to be connected to one another. But those relationships are rough and tough at times, and almost impassable at times. They are very challenging. In 1976, Simon and Garfunkel provided some very interesting relationship advice. It appears that 5 guys were part of the research. Their names are Jack, Stan, Roy, Gus, and Lee. The ideology of Simon and Garfunkel only seemed to focus on ending relationships. But here's what they said. Here's what their study shows. You just slip out the back, Jack. You make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just set yourself free. So you just get out of this relationship. That's what they're saying. Just hop on the bus, Gus, and don't need to discuss much. I'll stop there, but don't just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Because relationship needs to end. And I find it very interesting that we spend many times maybe more work on ending our relationship, and we slip out the back jack. And I think that the back jack and Bus Gus and Lee and Key Lee will face some troubles, because I think they'll generate a missing persons report. When you just slip out the back, somebody's going to know you're not there. You just hop a bus, Gus. You're just not going to show up. And then you're going to have like the cops looking for you, and you're going to have milk carton pitchers and those types of things. I don't think that's a good idea, just to slip out the back, Jack, or get on the bus, Gus, or just drop off the key, Lee. But, Plan Stan and Coy Roy might have an interesting idea. See, I think that if we're going to leave a relationship, if you're going to really leave a relationship, I think you need to ruin it first. If you're going to leave a relationship, and I think you need a new plan, you just can't slip out the back, Jack. You need to ruin it and then go out the back. You need to ruin the relationship and then get on the bus. You need to ruin the relationship, then leave the key. And then nobody's looking for you. And I've entitled today's message this. It's a long one. It'll probably never make a title of a book, but effective ways to ruin a relationship that so when you step out the back or hop a bus or drop out the key, no one will come looking for you. And probably will be happy to leave the back door open, pay the bus fare, and get their key back. So today we're talking about how to ruin a relationship. Because I think the Bible talks about how to ruin a relationship. And if you can't just leave a relationship, for crying out loud, you got to ruin it first. If not, you're going to end up with a bunch of garbage you have to deal with. People are going to look for you. So let's talk about how to ruin a relationship. And I think the Bible gives great insight on how to ruin a relationship. And I think in 1 Timothy, he says this, throughout this letter, to Timothy, Paul is helping Timothy understand how to be a part of a group of people operating as a unified force. Worshippers and leaders and family members and community members. And that's what he's talking about in this letter. He's talking about this, how to operate as a unified force or in this relationship. But then he gets to chapter 6 and he talks about these individuals that are coming in with all these ruined techniques to ruin the relationship. It's kind of like when I hunt with my footlock. If I have a grain of powder here and a grain of powder here and one 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 here, that's not going to do anything. But if I can combine all those and stuff them down the barrel of my gun, boom, a lot happens. And so Paul is telling Timothy, there's going to be people who try to ruin your relationship because they know the power of a relationship. Because you have been created for a relationship. It's something that God has given us and something the enemy is trying to take from you. So he gets this whole dynamic of how to ruin a relationship, I think. And he says, watch out for these people. That's what they're doing. And I would just like to evaluate myself this morning and say, do I have these characteristics? Do I have these tendencies? Do I have these actions in my life? Because I'm telling us right now, if you're trying to ruin a relationship, these will work. If you're doing these, I'm telling us, you're going to ruin a relationship. So, if you want to ruin a relationship, take notes. If you want these actions and or these characteristics, take notes. Take note that they will ruin a relationship. Does that make sense this morning? So here we go. If you want, number one, if you say, man, I'm in a relationship I'd really like to ruin because I really want to drop out the key and I really want to hop a bus, guys, and I really want to, so I got to design this way. And so I just, if I could spend like a year, just 2021, my goal is to ruin this relationship so that when I leave my key, nobody's trying to give it back to me. Or if you're one who has these tendencies in your life, just beware, they're going to ruin your relationship. One Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. I got 7 ways to ruin a relationship. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching. Let me just extract. I know who he's talking about. I know what he's trying to get through. But I think these individuals are there trying to implement relationship-ruining techniques. And if that's what they're doing in their work, and God thought it pertinent enough to tell Paul, to tell Timothy, to watch out because these characteristics are going to ruin relationships. And you need relationships. You were created for relationships. So watch out for these ones that want to separate the grains of powder. So you're nothing more than just a little poof of smoke rather than something that can project a bullet out of the end of the gun. Number one, do not seek or listen to healthy instruction. For crying out loud, you can't do that. If you're going to ruin a relationship, you cannot seek or listen to healthy instruction. It's going to mess it up. You have to be closed-spirited. You have to think you got all the answers. You've got to think you've got all the answers. Listen, we're not going to go into these a lot, but you've got to think you've got all the answers. For crying out loud, do not seek or listen to healthy instruction. These people, they were not thinking or seeking healthy doctrine or teaching. So if you're going to ruin, or if you're not doing that, you're ruining, I'm telling you, you're ruining a relationship. You're ruining it right now. The ruin has started. The rust has started. Do not listen. Do not seek or listen to healthy instruction. You've got to be closed-spirited. And if you're closed-spirited and you're not seeking instruction and you're not seeking healthy instruction and you're not seeking God and you're not seeking where He would want you to go and you're not seeking the woman He wants you to be or the man you want to be, you're not seeking Him on how to do this relationship and do it right. If you're not seeking Him and if you're not grabbing on to what He's teaching you and what He's telling you, then you're in the mood for ruining your relationship. That makes sense this morning? Verse 4 says this, he is conceited and understands nothing. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the people who want to ruin the relationship. He's talking about the people that have come into this relationship environment that Paul has been telling Timothy for 5.5 chapters of how to build this relationship as worshipers and as family members and as community members. But he said, these people are trying to implement this in your life. And it's the enemy wanting to ruin your relationship because you're created for a relationship. And let me say it again, now all the powder gets together and watch out. It's going to create this big boom. So he's conceited. Conceited means self-important and proud and arrogant. You can't care about the other person. If you're going to ruin a relationship, stop caring about the other person. Stop caring what they think. You got to stop caring about them. And maybe you're saying, I know people that are even in my life right now that's happening. Then maybe you can turn this into a prayer. But you got to be conceited. You got to be self-important. You got to be proud. You got to be arrogant. You can't care about what the other person is thinking. You have to. You are the most important entity. And as a matter of fact, push the button. As a matter of fact, I think you need a case of POW. My problem is more challenging. My opinion is more right, and my want is more important. Start sucking down some POW, and you'll ruin a relationship. You got to be conceited. Or if you are conceited, if your problem is always more challenging and you don't have any time to listen to the problem on the other side of the table, on the other side of the aisle, if you don't have any time to listen to that, I'm always in the more challenging and I'm more right. And my want is more important. I'm not going to listen to anyone else. Hang on, you're ready for ruin. Number 2 is strive to have a POW attitude. My problem is more challenging, my opinion is more right, and my want is more important. And I don't really care about your needs. I don't really care about you, and I don't really care about them. This is about me. You've got to be conceited. If you're going to drop off the key, Lee, be conceited first. Four continues. He is conceited and understands nothing. He has no understanding. He has no understanding at all. And number 3 is this. Listen to respond, not to understand. For crying out loud, you just got to listen to respond, not to understand. When someone starts to talk to you when you're in relationship, immediately you need to go into the mindset, how am I going to respond to this? You don't have to. Listen, you can't care about what they're saying. If you start caring about what they're saying, it's going to mess you up. Because they might become more important than you. And you're not going to be able to ruin the relationship. You need to ruin it if you're going to leave it. We need to listen to respond and not listen to... I need to listen to respond, not to understand. Because if you gain understanding, you might change. And really, who cares about the issue? Just fight to win. It's just about winning. Just get your way. Remember, POW has to blossom. My problem, my opinion, my want, they're more important than anything that you may have. Verse 4 continues, he is conceited and understands nothing. Oh, here we go. This is a great one. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies. A diseased interest is what that word is. It's unhealthy. We translate it, but it's a diseased interest in controversies. You know what a controversy is? Push the button. It's a contentious topic. You know what a contentious topic is? Something that's very touchy. So if you're in a relationship, this is button pushing 101. You've got to push buttons inside of the relationship. You've got to have this unhealthy want for controversy. You've got to have this unhealthy want. And so when you see a button in the one that you're in a relationship with, whether it's your spouse or coworker or someone here at the church or your mailman or your neighbor, and you just don't want to be in that relationship, and you just want to tell them to shut up, and you just want to hang up the key, Lee, ruin it first. Then they'll be glad when you get on the bus. And you've got to push buttons. Find the buttons in the one you're in relationship with and push them. And push them often. You've got to have a unhealthy desire to push buttons. You should have a callus on the end of your pointer finger. And every time break, push it. They start to push it. Remember, POW. My problems, my opinions, and my wants are more than yours. So let me push your button so you'll just be off in a tangent somewhere because I don't want to talk about what's the problem. I'm just going to push your button so you explode over here. Maybe I'm the only one that's ever done that to my wife. Just so you know, I don't know if you want to ruin a relationship or not, but button pushing will ruin your relationship. Four continues. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words. You got to quarrel about everything. Number five is just quarrel about everything. You know what the difference between quarreling and unhealthy controversies? Quarreling is aggravated by fear. Quarreling comes as a result of fear. You got to let fear just kind of simmer inside of you so you can boom! Because you got to quarrel, the angry dispute. You got a major issue to talk about that is fueled by anger. Wait till the anger. Listen, you got to wait till the anger gets there, and the anger's not going to get there unless you push a few buttons. Gotta push buttons so that anger builds. So when it comes up and it's on the table, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, no matter what side of the kitchen table you're on, no matter what side of the car you're on, so when the issues come up, kaboom! Have some of that POW right here, baby. Because my problems are, my opinions and my wants are greater than yours. Now push some buttons so we can fuel this anger, so we can have this conversation fueled by anger. How's that ever worked for you? I don't know about you, but I can just admit it. It doesn't work very well. And sometimes you've got to major on the minors in order to quarrel about everything. So please tell them, just please, if your spouse says that something happened yesterday afternoon, please remind them that it was 11:50. Oh, please do that. Your relationship won't get ruined unless you remind them, unless you correct them on every little thing that they do. Because why? Because when you do that, what happens? This little anger button gets... Well, you shouldn't be so angry about everything. Thank you, Captain Obvious! Stop pushing my buttons! so you know, this works in any relationship that you're in. I'm not talking about marriages only. I'm talking about people you're sitting with in this room. I'm talking about the people you work with and the people that are your neighbors. Verse 4 says this again. He is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malice, and malicious talk and evil suspicion. See, as controversies and quarrels occur, as they occur, they sow some seeds. You know what those seeds are? As those controversies, those button pushing, and that anger-driven discussion, as they grow, they plant seeds, and they plant seeds of envy or resentment. Oh, baby, if you can get resentment growing in a relationship, you're not too far away from ruin. If you can get that to grow, water that baby. Let that grow. Because resentment, man, that is like a noose around your neck. That is like something that will choke your relationship right to pieces. You got to let envy grow. You got to let resentment grow. You got to let bitterness grow. You got to let the strife or that bitterness go. You got to come to a point where almost you hate the person. Because bitter, oh, bitter. See, if you can get so bitter and so resentful, when you get on the bus, nobody's going to look for you. And you got to let malicious talk in there. You got to let that grow. You got to have words that cut and hurt. You got to say those. But they're never going to work unless you have the controversy first, the button pushing. And they're never going to work unless you have this anger growing inside of you. And then all of a sudden, this soil is so right. And you can plant malicious talk in there. You can plant evil suspicion in there, this distrust in there. I don't know if I'm talking about your relationship, your marriage, or I'm talking about you, this country. I'm not sure. Our relationships are going to hell in the handbasket. And we've got the doctorate. We've got a PhD in relationship ruining in this world. And the enemy is winning every single day when he ruins another relationship. I'm going to stand up. I'm a man. No, you're an idiot. Nobody's going to push me around. Okay. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm talking about relationships. And our country is going to hell. And our relationships are falling off one after another, after another, after another. If you can't see these characteristics still in our world today, they are alive in our world. They're alive in me, and they're alive in you. And they're alive in our marriages, and they're alive in our kids' relationships, and they're alive in our world. They're alive in your workplace. Number 6 is just you got to let those seeds of controversy and quarrels grow. And just this is just an aside. I kind of have it here, and I just wrote this in my notes. You're probably going to need to hang on to unforgiveness because that's good fertilizer for these seeds. Don't forgive. For crying out loud, don't forgive. You're going to ruin the seed growth. Number 5, verse 5, it says, the constant friction between men of corrupt mind. Whew. Verse 5, if you closed the spirit and you add POW and add controversies and you had quarrels and you have constant friction, ruined relationship is coming. You're almost there. You're almost able to drop off the key and nobody gives a darn. You're almost ready to head for the bus as everybody around you is throwing you a dollar bill so you can go farther away. You're almost there. Hang on. The end of this relationship is in sight. This is where the greatest one has to happen. You've got to implement number 7. You have to embrace, I don't care. I don't care spirit. If you start caring at the end, you're going to ruin it. You have to have a don't care spirit. Because as of right now, it's really unhealthy and it really stinks. But you've got to have a don't care spirit. I don't know if this describes your intended actions or if it highlights the actions that might be there. You don't know where it's going to take you. I'll tell you where it's going to take you. It's going to take you on a new bus, Gus. It's going to take you at the back, Jack. It's going to take you without a key, Lee. At this point, you are out the back, you are dropping off the key, and you're headed to the bus. But the reality is you're created for relationships. This means that you're going to be alone. And even God Himself says it's not good for man to be alone. The enemy is stealing it right off and under your nose. He's stealing it right off and under our nose. Something that God has created us for. Something that God implemented in our life. And the enemy is taking it from us. Day by day by day by day. He's taking it. He's stealing what is yours. And what you have been created to have. I don't know about you, but that can make my teeth grind. Can you answer yes to one or more of these statements? I'm not seeking or listening to healthy instruction. I'm not asking for a raising of hands. I'm struggling with POW. I am listening to respond and not to understand. I am pushing buttons. I am quarrelsome. I am letting seeds of controversy and quarrels grow. Resentment and bitterness and words that cut and hurt and distrust. And I am embracing a don't care spirit. And I got to ask, is it, you can answer yes to any one of those questions. Don't hang up yet. Because the enemy is done stealing from you what is yours. And it might take a reprogramming in your brain. It may take a throwing out some junk that was handed down to you, this generational crap that's come from our forefathers. Do you want a healthy relationship with others? Are you ready to submit to some divine examination? Let me leave you with three passages of Scripture. Search me, O God. Would this be your prayer? If you could answer yes to any one of those things. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Will that be your prayer? Or are you going to let the enemy continue to steal what God has equipped you to have? Because when God sees if there's any offensive way in you, He will bring it up to you. And I'm not asking for you to go tell your neighbor how much he stinks. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking God to search me. I'm not asking God to search Cheryl. She can do that. God, search me, because I'm done surrendering what you created me for. It doesn't matter how much I get or how good of a job I have or what my environment was like. If I don't have this relationship on this horizontal front, I am lacking. God, you said it. Search me, God. And know if there's any offensive way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. And when God brings those things up to you, 1 John 1:9 needs to be the prayer. If I confess my sin, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive me of my sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. Because when God searches you, He's going to find some junk. Because the 1 John continues to say, if you think that God's not going to find any junk in your life, knock, 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 wake up, He's going to. That's why He has this. And let me leave you with this. This is the end of that passage that we started with in 1 Timothy 6. But you, man of God. But you, woman of God. But you, people of God. That's where he's described these characteristics of these people that are throwing this ruin into all the relationships. He said, but you, people of God, flee from all this and pursue, go after righteousness. And go after godliness. And go after faith and love and endurance and gentleness. That will build relationships, he's telling Timothy. And you'll be able to step into this environment that God's got you fully equipped to take. This relationship. Listen, relationships are tough. That's because the enemy knows the value of us being in that type of relationship. So will we heed God's call? Will we ponder that 6:11 verse this week and say, God, I'm coming before you. Search me. God, when you find stuff, I'm going to ask for forgiveness. I'm going to say it right out loud. And if I need to call a brother in Christ and say, I just confess this to God, because I'm done ruining my relationships. Because I have no plan to go out the back or turn into my key or hop a new bus. I plan on living in what God has created me to live in. In this relationship that he's got me in. And I will pursue what is right. And I will pursue godliness. And I will pursue faith and love and endurance and gentleness. If you come to me for a relationship guidance, I'm going to point you toward that verse. It's my new verse. Do that. See what happens. Stand with me today. God, thank you. Thank you that I could see you speaking to me all week on this, how to ruin a relationship. And God, that's not what you want me to do, obviously, because you created me for a relationship. But I know the enemy wants to steal it from us. And so these controversies and this disputing and this anger and this button pushing and this conceitedness and this not wanting to learn more about me and you, God, and this relationship. I know all that's from the enemy. Because it is a subtle way that he can ruin it and ruin what we've been created for. God, so I pray a blessing over every one of us this morning. I ask for a 1 Timothy 6:11 blessing to fall on this crowd. To fall on those watching on TV. I ask for a blessing, a 6:11 blessing to fall on us. And the relationships in this room that are struggling intensively right now, I pray a 6:11 double blessing on them. Fall on us, God. Bless us, God. 6:11 blessing. A 6:11 blessing. A 6:11 blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing day.